So it's been a few weeks, but in our last study, we went over and studied being devoted to one another, and so I thought we'd run through this slide as a reminder of where we left off in our series on one another and building up one another. First of all, the church is a family, the spiritual family, and that was really the core of the lesson of being devoted to one another, is realizing that we're a family, and it's just like a physical family and a spiritual family, and the similarities are there. And we've got God as our Father, Christ as the faithful Son, and a brother and example for us. We saw that we are also sons of God, and we all wear the name of Christ, just like in a physical family, we wear the name of our family. Well, the family in Christ is as Christians, and we are, as I said, as a family in Christ. We're to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and we're also that's going to be our study this evening, is the second half of Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. The first half was this, being devoted to one another in brotherly love. We see that we are to love each other with that genuine affection toward one another. We're all from the same family, the same blood, that is the blood of Christ. The verse to summarize and conclude our study on devoted to one another was in 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 through 9, and it's this: to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. This week we're going to move on, and like I said, the second half of Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, which speaks of honoring one another. We are to honor one another, and so that's going to be our study this evening. So let's go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read this verse again. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and give preference to one another in honor." And there's other versions that read, "Be kindly affectionate to one another." And anyways, but to give preference to one another in honor. The literal translation of this, at least one version of a literal translation, is in brotherly love to one another, loving fervently, having gone before one another in honor. And we're going to see a few examples of that tonight, of how Christ exemplified honor toward others. And in this verse here, the literal translation, having gone before one another in honor, is really an accurate way to describe what it is to honor one another, going before others. So turn it over to Luke chapter 14, and as I mentioned, that Jesus, he preached the principle of honor, and we see this in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 7. We'll go ahead and read through this. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 7, he began, in fact, before I even go there, let's go all the way back to verse 1, and this will just set the context of where Jesus is. In verse 1, he says, "And it came about when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, that they were watching him closely." And so we see that the picture is Jesus is in the house of a leader of the Pharisees. And so who are the people that are going to be there? And I'll ask this question. This is a leader of the Pharisee. What type of people are going to be there? And it is on the Sabbath. So they're just having a meal, having a feast or whatever. But it's in the leader. It's the leader's house. The leader of the Pharisees. What do you think? The type of people, like their status, or their—I don't know how to say it—like
more influential.
Yes, yeah, influential people. They're probably, yeah, I don't know how else to say it, but they're probably not like people that you would think low of, or maybe poverty-stricken people. They're going to be like that, the influential people, people of a greater status. Yeah?
My Bible says concerning inflexible people.
In what?
Unflexible.
Inflexible, okay. Yes, yeah, so it's that idea of someone of a great status, and so that's what we're going on here. And then the last half of this verse says that they were watching him closely. So Jesus had become a figure at this point in his ministry, and he's gaining attention, and so people are watching him. So let's jump down to verse 7. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests. When he noticed how they have become picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, when you are invited to someone by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both shall come and say to you, give place to this man, and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So first of all, Jesus is watching them, as we see back in verse 7. He's watching them choosing the place of honor. It says in verse 7 that he noticed how they have been picking out the places of honor. And who knows what that picture looked like. But once again, it's these people of great, they're distinguished people. And yet this is going on, and so that perhaps they're arguing over or whatever it might be, the places of honor. And so I want to go back to Matthew 23, and this is, if we remember back when in Jesus he's speaking in reference to the Pharisees. Here in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 1, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogue and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, being called by men rabbi. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called leader, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So these are the same people, the Pharisees, more or less, who, like I said, love to put themselves in a place of honor. They do things to be seen by men. And yet here, back in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is pointing out, he's stating a parable to them as to how they ought to go about this. In really, the point here that Jesus is making is a lesson in humility. A lesson in humility. Others must come before ourselves. And he's telling them that not to place yourself in a greater place. And that's precisely what they were doing and what he was speaking of. We're not to look to please ourselves first. Once again, that's what they were doing. We might, I think of Philippians chapter 2, which I think this verse has come up in every class that we've had. And yet it's a good one for us to remember and to be reminded of. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, that each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard others as more important than yourself. With humility of mind, it's how we are to behave ourselves, to conduct ourselves in the world in which we live in, and not to look out for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. In Matthew chapter 18, and I didn't go into great detail of this study, but if I remember from our study on the harmony of the Gospels, I think that Matthew chapter 18 is within the same context of Luke chapter 17, when they were in the upper room. And here in Matthew 18, at the time, verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives such a one, a child in my name, receives me. And we could go on, but they're arguing that the disciples, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And we're going to see on our next slide as we continue. I got ahead of myself when they were in the upper room. The disciples, in the example of Jesus washing their feet. But once again, the Pharisees seek to be the greatest, and those of that mind, and that is not who we ought to be, and that's precisely what Christ is telling them, that not to be that way. What is it about children that makes them humble, as we're looking here in Matthew chapter 18?
Their innocence,
yeah.
Their open hearts,
yes.
They're quick to obey.
That's right, yeah, the purity of mind, yeah, the innocence is what I was thinking of, their mind and their actions, and that, again, precisely what Jesus says, that we ought to become like children. So let's go ahead and move on to this next slide and turn over to Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, and here's the story of Zacchaeus, and we're going to see a lesson here of honor and the way Christ treated Zacchaeus, beginning in verse 1 of Luke chapter 19. And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable to, because of the crowd, for he was small in stature, and ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." No one was expecting Jesus to stay with a tax collector. And certainly we can see that by the reaction of the people. Yet, he bestowed honor on Zacchaeus by noticing him and for staying in his home. And he and Zacchaeus were the changed man because of it. And his response in verse 8, that he would give back to the poor, and if he defrauded anyone, he would give back four times that amount. And so this is an example of honor that Christ, that he bestowed on Zacchaeus. In John chapter 13, this is what I was referring to earlier when I mentioned the upper room. In John chapter 13, I'm going to go ahead and read through this. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Actually, let's go ahead and jump down. The whole context is 1 through 17, but let's begin in verse 4 and 5, and then we'll jump down into verse 12. In verse 4, so he rose from supper and laid aside his garment, and taking a towel, he girded himself about, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he is washing the disciples' feet. Jump down into verse 12. He says, "And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you not know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should follow, that you should do as I do. Truly, truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who sent him greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them.'" So Jesus, in humility, quietly washes their feet. He did not make a scene looking for attention of what he was doing. In Luke chapter 22, and this is a parallel to Matthew 18, but in Luke 22, the wording is interesting here. Well, he says in verse 22:24, "And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one was regarded to be the greatest." And so the disciples are disputing who is the greatest in the kingdom. And yet we have here, which I believe it's the same context of the upper room. And so get the picture. The disciples are arguing who is the greatest, and then Jesus before them washes their feet. And then he goes on, and as we read through the end of this text, and he teaches them a lesson in humility. In verse 14, "If then the Lord and teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another." You would think that Jesus would have instructed them to wash his feet, right? But yet he did not do that. Instead, he told them to wash one another's feet. In verse 15, "For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you." The point was made to humble yourself and to honor one another. And that's because that's what Christ did, and that's the example that he left. He humbled himself, and he honored the disciples by washing their feet. And then in verse 17, if you know these things, now you are blessed if you do them. He doesn't say that we are blessed if we study about it or if we talk about it. He says that you are blessed if you do these things. And I think that's a lot of the issues that we might have today, or the struggles that we have as we're living our lives. We know what's right, and we read about it, and we get encouragement from other people telling us these things, but we need to take that next step as Christ did, and we need to act upon it. He says that you are blessed if you do these things. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter, he admonishes us to clothe ourselves with humility, more or less, is what the what he's saying there in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. It seems perhaps that goes right along with what we're reading here in John chapter 13, and perhaps that he learned the lesson there in humility in that night before Passover. Does anybody have any thoughts on any of these examples of Christ? There's so many others, I really tried to condense it down to just a few examples. But the one of Christ here washing the disciples' feet is really a powerful lesson for us. The one who is our Savior, yet he's the one that was serving others. And we too need to do the same thing. Anybody have any thoughts or any other verses on this you want to add? We've got a few things for us to think about, some things that we can do to apply the lesson of honoring one another. And so let's just go through them. The first one here is to give of yourself without expecting anything in return. In Matthew chapter 25, let's go read through this. In Matthew 25, and this too is a great lesson and really an eye-opener for us when we look at the fine print, more or less, of what Jesus is saying here. Let's read through this. In Matthew 25, we'll begin in verse 34. He says, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' And then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' And then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but righteousness into eternal life." So our actions toward others greatly affects our relationship with Christ. And we can see that here. It's so clear. I mean, it's so clear because the people are like, when did we see you? But he says, because you did it to these brothers of mine, you did it to me. And so that tells us that the way we treat one another has every bearing and effect on how Christ, on how our relationship is with Christ and how we treat Christ. We can think of it as a parent in our children. When our children are hurt, you know, maybe somebody said something really mean to them, and we can see that their feelings are really hurt. And as a parent, how does that make you feel? I mean, it hurts you. But they didn't do it to you. They did it to your children. And that's what Christ is saying. Because you did it to them, you also did it to me, or to those on the left. Because you did not do it to them, you did not do it to me. It has, the way we treat people now in this life has a great bearing on our salvation. If we don't have any care or consideration for others, Jesus says that these will go away into eternal punishment. Well, this is just a parable. It's not. I mean, they're the words of Christ, and you take it for what it is. It's still the words of Christ, and he says that these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so there's two places that people are going to go. And within this, the context of these words of his, it's the way we treat one another is also going to determine where we go. And that's the point that he is making here. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 says it's more blessed to give than to receive. We need to be looking for ways that we can give of ourselves to bless others and to honor others. And this is a way that we honor others. All of these things that Christ is speaking of here in 25 is ways of honoring one another. You took care of someone, you noticed the need, and you acted upon that need, and so this is one way that we can honor one another. Does anybody have any thoughts or anything you want to add to that? So the next slide is very similar to this, just with a little bit different twist, and that is, get down to it, to go out of your way to help or to serve someone. Like I said, it's similar, but this is more along the idea of hospitality, which once again is kind of similar, but I do see a little bit of a difference here between the two. So in Romans chapter 12, where our study is, here in Romans 12, reading in verse 13, he says, contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. Hospitality is not convenient, right? If it would be, then it wouldn't be hospitality. It's something that you go out of your way to do. It's something that's not necessarily convenient to you. It might not be inconvenient, but it's just what I have on the board here. It's going out of your way to help someone, to do something for someone else, to recognize the need of others and acting upon the need. That's honoring someone. That's something that we can do. We can pay a much greater attention to one another. And by doing that, we learn of each other. We learn the needs of others or different things that are going on in their life. And then we can determine if there's a way that we can help, or a way that we can serve our brethren. Another saying, and this is, that's number two, this is number three, and that is to pay a compliment to others. Nothing lifts someone up more than to hear words of encouragement, obviously, specific to you, saying things, and there's way more than this, maybe you can think of some, but telling someone good job for something they did, telling them that you appreciate them, that you love them, maybe saying thank you for something that they did instead of just taking it for granted, which we all do. We don't mean to, but, you know, words are powerful, and words are a way that we can honor one another. To go out of your way to pay a compliment, this is something that, this is honoring others. Going out of our way to pay a compliment. Any thoughts on these two? On these two here? Anything you want to add to? This is the last thing I have here, is to listen to others. Jesus always focused on the person that he was speaking with, and I didn't pull up examples. There's an example of the Samaritan woman, woman at the well. I mean, there's a number of them, even when he is having conversation with Pharisees and Sadducees and those different rulers of the day, people who were trying to trick him into things. He listened intently and was focused on the person that he was speaking with. He made those around him feel as if they were the most important people in their life, because they were. And we read a verse that tonight, that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his purpose for coming to earth, and in his ministry, as he's teaching and preaching, that's his focus. And so he was intent on everybody that he came into contact with, because he was trying to teach them and to help save them from their sins. What kind of impression do you leave with those to whom you speak? You want to have a conversation with someone, or say someone asks you, they want to have a conversation, or it's just a random, you know, like we're here and we're talking and someone talking to you, what's your behavior? And I'll bring up this next one, because it goes along with it, and that is your listening. Does your listening language imply that they are important or bothersome to you? So you see it where you're talking to someone, and you're face to face, and where are their eyes? Their eyes are all over the place. They're not paying attention, or they're constantly looking around. People say that it's, how you say it, like, people think it's this great thing when they can listen to three conversations at once. Think about that. How much attention are they giving to the one who's a primary conversation giver? You can't do it, right? You know, you're going to miss stuff. And I'm always surprised in talking with people how well they do pick up on things, even though they're listening to five things at once. But we're talking about how we can honor one another, and we can show that care for one another and appreciate others. And listening is huge. It's such a big. We honor one another by our listening skills and giving them the attention that they deserve. Someone's talking to you for a reason, generally speaking. Sometimes it's small talk. Hey, how was your day? Oh, okay. But we're talking more than that. Like someone's like, they're just talking. And you might think it's just a light talk, but they're starting to get into things, and they're telling you about their day. And you can learn, once again, ways that we can learn ways to help them based on the thing that they're saying. You know, their house is flooding or something like that. They're not asking for help. They're just saying, hey, my house, the creek is rising. we ought to know what we can do to help. Or, you know, there's so many things. There's so many things that we can do. And listening is where we can learn about others and we can honor one another through our listening. So I want to open it up just for a moment. What are some things that you think of or ways and things that we can do to honor one another? What are some thoughts that you guys have?
There's all the things that we do daily where we ask each other how we're doing, what can we do to help, does anybody have any need, does anybody need anything? When the creek is rising, we've all offered to come help throw sandbags or do whatever we need to help with that. That's uplifting and to be a brother to one another.
That's right. That's, you know, keeping in touch with our brethren. And we, I mean, sorry to pick on you guys, but you're a good example because your water's rising, I would imagine. And we all know that. We all know when the rain comes and we should know that. And we can just make a call and say, hey, how's it going? And, you know, do you need help? And you don't even have to say anything. And that's really the honoring where it comes in. The disciples had no clue when Jesus girded himself with the towel and he filled the basin with, I mean, they weren't expecting that, especially from Christ. And Peter's response, we didn't read it, but he's like, oh, wash everything on me, if that's what this means. But finding ways to serve one another without them even knowing, obviously there comes a time where they know, but we shouldn't necessarily have to ask, even though it's good to ask if we need help. That's a whole other lesson of not being prideful and seeking help from a brethren. But, good. Anybody else have anything they want to add to that?
I think so much of it falls under just that, just knowing each other and staying in touch and knowing that. Taking food if someone's sick or offering help.
That's right. Yeah, very good. Anybody else? Wrapping up our study this evening, these are some of the highlighted verses I wanted to mention here. But as we've learned how to honor one another better, we can see that it's not done when the timing is convenient. And it's so easy to help someone when it's convenient. but that's honoring to a point. But it's, the real honor comes when it's not expected, and you know, and we go out of our way to help one another, and that really says something about our character. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew about, you know, you did it to others, and when we treat others that way, we ultimately are treating Christ in the same way. In order to honor one another, well, we've got, as we've been talking about, we've got to be on the lookout for opportunities to serve one another and find ways to be of a service to them, to go out of our way to honor one another. It takes a lot of work to honor someone. All of these things that we're talking about take a great deal of effort. If I don't believe that we can be a Christian, to be fulfilling to Christ, if we just skim our way through life putting no effort into anything, all of these things that we talk about take a great deal of effort. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, we've got to put ourselves aside and consider others. Matthew 23 and also Luke 14 says that for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's you know, you try to teach that principle to your children. And I think we're the same way. It's kind of hard to really get. Because, you know, people want to be noticed and they want to be lifted up. Well, he says, he who humbles himself will be lifted up. And so, in other words, don't put yourself in a place of honor. Let someone else do it. And it will happen when we humble ourselves and when we choose to back off and let others have the place of honor. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, with humility of mind, regard others as more important than yourselves. John chapter 13 and verse 17, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. James 4:17 says, he who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Sin, the same thing, but it's a little more strong language in James. When we know something that's right, it's such a good thing. It's such a good thing, and it's a blessing. Four things that we looked at here, finally, was to give of yourself without expecting anything in return. Go out of your way to help someone and to serve someone, to be of a service to them. Pay a compliment to others, which really is considering others, the same idea. And then finally, to listen, listen to others. Intently listen to them, show them that we care about them by listening. Next week, we're going to study the subject of being of the same mind with one another, to be of the same mind with one another. So thank you for your thoughts.